ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ರಘುವೀರ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ರಣಧೀರ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ರಘುವೀರ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಮಮ ಬಂಧ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಸಿಂಧು ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಮಮ ಬಂಧು ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಸಿಂಧು ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಮಮ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ರಘುರಾಮ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಪರಂಧಾಮ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ರಘುರಾಮ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ರಘುವೀರ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ರಣಧೀರ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಜಯ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಜಯ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಜಯ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಜಯ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಜಯ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಜಯ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣ ಹನುಮಾನ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ 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 ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣ ಹನುಮಾನ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣ ಹನುಮಾನ್ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣ ಹನುಮಾನ್ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಜಯ Jayakaram Jaya Lakman Hanuman Jayakaram Jaya Lakman Hanuman Jayakaram Jaya जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की श्री रामनवमी महामहोत्सव की श्री श्री राधा कुंज वैर श्री श्री गौर निताय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की कलियुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय गौर प्रेमानंद Hare Krishna. So we had one lecture in Hindi. So now we will have in English now. Speak in English language. Everyone can hear me clearly? So in Ramayana, we have so many valuable things to learn. Just like this morning we were hearing from Murari Prabhu. Such a wonderful class today. As he was telling, Kaikeyi was finding that Ram is a nuisance. That Ram be sent away to the forest. So that keeping Ram away, I can be very happy. So, and this is an example of a conditioned soul who likes to delight away from Ram. On the other hand, we found in that lecture how Bharat tried to bring Ram back. But Bharat's pastime is very special because although in one sense Ram did not come back and take up his rule, still Bharat went to Ram and invited him and he, in spirit, he brought Ram back by bringing his paduka and keeping his paduka in the simhasana and worshipping it every day. In fact, Bharat can be compared to any of the living beings in this world who is ardently devoted to the Supreme Lord by placing the Lord in the throne of his heart. Like we all have a throne, we can place Maya in the throne, or we can place Krishna in the throne, Krishna or Ram in the throne. So Bharat Maharaj placed the Paduka of Ram in the throne. It is said Bharat Maharaj used to do chamar every day for worshipping the paduka. He would also announce all the money transactions and all the taxes collected to the paduka. He also would hold an umbrella over the paduka. Every morning he would get up and take a bath and bow down to the paduka. Just as if Lord Ram was present there, he treated the paduka equivalent to Lord Ram's presence. In this way, Bharat successfully spent his 14 years in Krishna consciousness, or Ram consciousness, successfully. Although Lord Ram was not physically present there, his paduka was present. So, in Ramayana we see how to serve the Lord by in Vapu association that Lakshmana showed. How to serve the Lord in Vani association that Bharat Maharaj showed. Bharat showed. So Lakshman was there with Ram, very next to him, throughout the forest. But how did Lakshman serve? He left behind his wife, Urmila. And 14 years he was with Ram in the forest. Which is also very exemplary. Because keeping his wife behind and going with Ram to forest for 14 years and adopting the forest dress, and Jata, and also he performed even more austerities than Sita Ram, because he comforted Sita Ram by giving them a panchakutir, panchavati, parnakutir, and while they were asleep he would take his bow and arrow in his hand and go round and round offering them protection in the whole of the night. In the daytime he would go and fetch some roots and fruits and herbs and leaves from the forest and firewood for Mother Sita to cook. And also he would, whenever they were moving from one place to another, he would always go ahead and study the forest path, whether it is free of all dangers and all that. So he was 24 hours busy in serving Ram
Sita and Ram by being right next to them. And casting away his own personal luxuries and comforts. Some people ask why he could have taken his wife also with him to the forest. But Lakshman leaving behind his wife is symbolic that one should put aside one's comforts of the family if one wants to completely surrender to the Supreme Lord. It doesn't mean that one has to give up wife, children, family, everyone and run away to forest. But the meaning is, one should put aside all one's considerations and comforts when one gets an opportunity to serve the Lord. So, he had the opportunity to personally serve Ram, the lotus feet of Ram. While Bharat was serving Ram and Vani, he took the instruction of Ram. Because Ram told him that you may be ready to give up your life, but your life is not very great to give up. Anybody can commit suicide. Anybody can give up his life. But to follow my instruction is more painful. And that's what I want you to do. So, being in the separation of Ram, Bharat was serving for 14 years. Also we find, what about Dasharath? Dasharath is an in-between character. Bharat served in separation, Lakshman served in union. But what happened to Dasharath Maharaj is in his heart he had attachment for Kaikeyi, surely. That's why Mantara had told Kaikeyi, you go to the sulking chamber and you untie your hair and lie down and keep sobbing. And when Dasharath Maharaj would come to you and try to cajole you, don't talk anything. He will keep on blabbering, my dear queen, what do you want? You want gold, you want silver, you want anything, I'll give you. Don't speak a word. Until Dasharath will tell you that I will give you whatever you ask for. Please tell me, you are my life and soul, I will do anything you want. At that time you speak out. You ask for these two boons. So these ideas were given by Mantara to Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi precisely did it. And then Dasharath was very willing to fulfill those two boons. And when he heard those two boons, his heart became broken-hearted. He became broken-hearted. He cried like a child. He fell at her feet, sobbing. He asked, how can you be so cruel-hearted to send Ram to the forest? So, Dasharath is the example of one who wants simultaneously Krishna consciousness and sense gratification both. What did Prabhupada say? Sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go yell together. That's why he was torn to pieces. He was trying to serve Ram by keeping Ram and he didn't want to send him to forest. At the same time, he wanted to fulfill the desire of Kaikeyi and he could not do. So, Dasharath is an example of attachment. We have to see the character of Dasharath from two angles. From one angle, we should see that Dasharath in the Nintya Leela of Lord Ram is the father of Ram. Naturally, he is a pure devotee. He is a Paramahamsa Mahabhagava devotee. And we cannot find any fault with him. He is a pure soul. And such a behavior of showing attachment to Kaikeyi and separation from Ram is not befitting Dasharath Maharaj. But still he does it in order for the pastime to move on. Otherwise, if Ram doesn't go to forest, what will happen? No further pastimes can take place. So we can understand it to be Lord's arrangement from one angle. From another angle, for our own sake, we can learn that Dasharath was torn between attachment to Kaikeyi and attachment to Ram. So we all want Krishna and we also want Maya simultaneously. So if we want to hold on to Maya and at the same time get Krishna, we cannot get. That's a good lesson we learn. So he could not very boldly tell Sita, tell Kaikeyi no to her. He could not tell her. In this way, we find the character of Bharat, Dasharath and Lakshman. Also in Ramayana we find the cruel-hearted Ravana, he tried to separate Sita and Ram. And we see Hanuman going to Lanka and again trying to unite Sita and Ram. That's how we see in Ramayana. So Ravana mentality means to enjoy Sita without Ram. So I was planning to highlight on this point because it is very valuable for us, because although we have heard the philosophy of Krishna consciousness several times, still the tendency for enjoyment doesn't go away very easily. In Srimad Bhagavatam there is an example given. If there is a pot of liquor kept, you throw away the liquor and even wash it with Ganges waters. You cleanse it. And even after cleansing it and wiping it with a cloth or something, then you smell it, still the stinking smell will come. The smell of liquor will come in there. Similarly, the enjoying mentality is called as a Gramya Buddhi. It doesn't go away very easily. Even after we take to, even after we come to spiritual life. Because the conditioned soul's nature is to always look for where is enjoyment. Where is enjoyment for me in this? Even after coming to Krishna consciousness. So, to be loyal and to be devoted only to the Lord and never to look back to Maya is the prerogative of a pure devotee. A pure devotee never looks back. Like a Chataka Pakshi never looks down. It always looks for the Swati rain. That is the platform of a pure devotee. And everyone should actually aspire for it. You see, it is said, when we take a dip in the Ganges, Ganges makes us free, free from sins, isn't it? But when we associate with pure devotees, that is also like association with Ganges. But there is a big difference between the two. And the pure devotees will always correct us, but the Ganges will not correct us. Ganges will only absorb the sins and leave us, and we may come out with come out and continue doing sinful activities. Whereas pure devotees, they always correct us. Like Srila Prabhupada, in all his purports, he'll find that's the nature of a acharya. He keeps bringing this point of enjoying mentality, because of which we are suffering in this world. Repeatedly, again and again. That's the meaning of a sadhu sangha. So we find when we hear of the chastity of Mother Sita and her loyalty to Ram and her lack of attraction for all the opulences and facilities of this world, by hearing that we will get the determination in our heart to also serve Lord Ram or Lord Krishna in a pinpointed way. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Surrender only to me. That instruction can be fulfilled. So while Mother Sita was in the hermitage, this incident happens after she sent away Lakshman to go in search of Ram. Lakshman was torn between duty towards Sita and eagerness to see what happened to Ram. He was torn between the two. Of course, Lakshman knew very well that nothing can happen to Ram. But then, because of Sita's very strong speech, just to satisfy her, Lakshman went. After Lakshman went, Sita went inside the cottage and she was weeping and sobbing, thinking of Ram, remembering Ram. At that time, this Ravana arrived there at the cottage, battering the door. So Ravana came like a mendicant, like a hypocritical mendicant, his hair tied up with a knot, his left hand carrying a kamandalu and a staff. In his right hand he was holding an umbrella which was leaning on his shoulder. Looking like a very brilliant mendicant, he appeared there. And when Sita opened the door, although he was dressed like a mendicant, he could not control his lusty desires when he looked at Mother Sita. Shamelessly he started speaking to Mother Sita, asking her, "Oh lady," he asked her many questions. I am just going to tell you a part of it. He asked her, "Are you goddess of modesty, Hri? Are you Kirti? Are you the goddess of fame? Are you goddess of fortune who has forgotten to hold the lotus in your hand? Or are you Bhuti, the goddess of mystic powers?" And he shamelessly described her beauty without even knowing who she is. She is a wife of another man. He is describing her beauty, saying that, "Oh, the the rows of teeth, they look like a rows of jasmine buds. Look at your eyes, they look like the two bumblebees hovering on a lotus. So Sita controlled her anger. Why? Because she didn't want to offend a Brahmana. She thought, this looks like some saintly person, I should not offend him. So immediately she cut off his speech, telling him that I am the daughter of Janaka, the pious king. And at the age of nine, I got married to Lord Ram. And I am devoted to Ram. And then she told the history that we were sent to forest for 14 years and now we are here. And then she asked him, who are you? Because the etiquette behooves that when you talk to a superior person, you tell about yourself first. And then you ask their identity. She in fact respected him still by giving him a sitting place and giving him some water to wash his feet and a meal, everything she offered him. And then she asked him. And as soon as she asked about Ravana's identity, Ravana started talking about his own glories, about his own greatness. He said, I am the leader of all the Rakshasas. In fact, I am the Lord of Sri Lanka. And even at the mention of my name, all the demigods tremble, he said. And he said, in Lanka, I have 32 crore Rakshasas who are, apart from the older Rakshasas and the infant children, these are only youths. And he said, all this, I am the master, all young Rakshasas, I am the master of all of them. And he said, and let me tell you, Sita, I am the Lord of Lanka. And why are you living in this forest, this deserted place, which is always surrounded by ferocious animals? And leave this forest and come with me and become my mistress, and you can become the queen of Lanka. In this way, you can see from the speech of Ravana, Lord Krishna says in that 16th chapter verse, Dambo darpo abhimanascha krodha parushyamevacha ajnanamcha abhijatasya pata sampadam asurayam. So, this is a very meaningful verse. Dambo means talking about one's greatness, although one doesn't possess any greatness. That is Dambo. Darpa means, actually, Krishna talks of many qualities, like mana darpa means to possess some qualities but being very proud. And then harshness, arrogance, all these things he is saying. Dambo darpa, abhiman, he is saying. Krodha parushyam, ajnanam, ignorance. So, Ravana was declaring his own greatness for one purpose. Why? He wanted to attract the heart of Sita. That was his purpose. One of the reasons we like to boast about our greatness is to attract the attention of others. Why people dress attractively? Why people dress colorfully? Because they want to attract the attention of others. Why people would put cosmetics? Because they want to attract the attention of others. They want someone to say, you are very beautiful, you are very attractive, you are very great. And we also talk about our qualifications. Why? Because we want people to adore us. Sometimes we like to tell people how much inconveniences we are accepting on behalf of service to Krishna. Again, all this is only to draw the sympathy from others' hearts. Draw the attention of others. Actually, great people see smallness in themselves and greatness in others. While small people see smallness in others and greatness in themselves. I recently heard this sentence from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in Bombay some time ago. So this became deeply etched in my mind. I thought I can put it on the altar of my heart and try to practice it. He says, great people see greatness in others and smallness in themselves. And small people see greatness in themselves and smallness in others, he said. So here, Ravana may be a big Rakshasa, but there is a story of how one time he came to know about the most powerful Wali. And he thought that this Wali is the only person who seems to be more mightier than me. And everyone else in this world, I can subdue them. But Ravana thought, why should I allow someone to live in my presence equal to me or better than me? I should be better than the best of all the people. So he thought of finishing off Wali. But then Ravana thought that if I go in front of him and attack him, I have heard that he will get half my strength. So I will attack him from behind. So he thought, once he went to Kishkindha and he went behind Wali to the most dangerous zone, which is the tail zone of Wali. Why is it very dangerous zone? Many times Wali would even capture Sugriva with his tail from behind. And then he would go to the Chardham Yatra, he would go. You know, he would go to Rameshwaram and do his Gayatri there. And then he would go to Badri Vishal. And then he would do puja there. Then he would come to, which is Jagannath Puri. You know, and all during this period, Sugriva would be in his tail only. He would do there. Which is the fourth place? Dwaraka. And then after coming back from Dwaraka, he will leave Sugriva back in the night. So Sugriva was always miserable. So once Hanuman, what he did, when Wali began his morning journey, picking up Sugriva, Hanuman came and caught hold of his neck. Of course, he was above the ground level, Wali was flying. When Wali was coming to the place, Matangamani's ashram and that area, of course, he was not supposed to touch the ground there, because if he touches the ground, his head would explode into 100 pieces. So he was flying above the ground, and Hanuman came and caught hold of his neck and told Wali, he was trying to drag Wali to the ground level. And Wali was screaming, Hanuman, what happened to you? Why are you so angry with me? Do you want to kill me? And Hanuman said, why do you do this to your brother? He spare him. And if you promise me that you will spare him, then only I will leave you, he said. Then Wali promised. Then he left Sugriva behind. And then Wali flew up. So this is Wali. Wali was extremely powerful. And here Ravan was, who came behind Wali. Actually, Ravan's plan was, I will catch him by the tail and whirl him. Zoom, 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 zoom. I'll put him on the ground and hit him to the ground. I will crack his skull and I will kill him. But then as soon as he came and touched the tail immediately captured him. Immediately, and Ravan found with his 10 heads caught very firmly, very tightly by Wali's tail. He just couldn't move. And Wali didn't even bother to see who it was. He just flew up to all the places. He was more fixed on his duty. And Ravan was flying all through for all the people in the universe to watch him. At last, when Wali came in the evening, he wanted to see who was that person. He brought his tail in the front and saw, oh, who is this 10-headed creature? He picked him up and then he thought it will be a good playtime for his child, Angada. He put it in the cradle hanging, like parents put the child, you know. So Ravana was moving like this in the cradle. So you can see, Ravana knew there are people much bigger than him. But still, he was very proudly declaring to Sita, how great I am. He was declaring his own greatness. Anyway, when Sita heard it, you should hear what Sita spoke. Sita became disgusted hearing the so-called the glories of Ravana. She said, you fool. What are you thinking about me? My life is devoted to Ram. And she told the glories of Ram. She said, Ram is steady like a mountain. He is grave like an ocean. He shelters all the praja, all the people of this world, like a banyan tree. In this way, Lord Ram is broad-chested and is mighty armed and is indefeatable, is unconquerable. And my life is devoted to such a Lord Ram. And you are trying to possess me? She said, Lord Ram is like a lion and you are like a jackal. Lord Ram is Garuda, you are like a crow. Lord Ram is sandalwood, but you are but mud. Lord Ram is like an ocean. And you are like a small puddle. Lord Ram is like nectar and you are stale gruel. She told him. And she said, how foolish it is on your part to try to possess me. So, this part is a very important part. She also said, Ram is like gold and you are like iron, she said. So this is the difference between lust and love. Love is compared to gold, and lust is compared to iron. And she said, Rama is like nectar. And she said, you are like a stale gruel, she said. Like a food, if it is stale, how horrible it is. Nobody likes to even smell it. So lust is like that. Love is like amrit, like nectar. And she says, he is Garuda and you are crow. So very, very powerful. So these comparisons that Sita makes is to prove to Ravana that you have become bewildered by lust. You have become afflicted by lust. Rise above this lust. And understand who is Ram. And surrender to him. That was her idea. Still Ravana thought, I have not told my entire glories to Sita. I should probably explain more. So this is also arises from ahankar. Like for example, one ahankar is to claim to be great. Another ahankar is to prove that we are great by justifying, by giving more and more evidences to prove our greatness. It's a very bad tendency. Bragging tendency. Ravana was saying, oh my dear beautiful lady, let me tell you, the vehicle in which I travel is Pushpak Viman. Do you know where I got it from? I vanquished in battle Kuvera. Who is my half brother? Now Kuvera is hiding somewhere in the region of Himalayas out of fear for me. And I have captured this Pushpak Viman and I have brought it. And he said, all the other demigods of the universe also, they tremble in front of me. And he said, the sun reduces its temperature when I show my sharp eyebrows. And the wind doesn't move out of here for me. And all the rivers, they stop making sound whenever they see me passing by. In this way, all the living beings in the whole universe, they fear me. Yet, let me tell you, after seeing you, I am not attracted to any woman in this creation. My life is surrendered to you. And I am ready to subordinate myself to you. Please come with me. So in this way, Ravana was trying to speak some sweet words to Sita, thinking that these words will attract her even more. But Sita said, you fool. She said, I am like a swan sporting in the waters of Manasarovar lake with another swan, Ram. And you are like a duck who is meandering on the muddy pool of waters in the banks of the river. And how can such a duck be eager to enjoy with a swan? So, these things, these wonderful scolding of Sita can awaken wisdom in our hearts that we should never try to enjoy Lord's property. Like the Ishvapanishad first verse says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. So, everything is owned by the Supreme Lord and we should never take that property for our own enjoyment. Beginning from the grass and gradually to the subtle. As we go subtle and subtler, there are subtle and subtler enjoyments. Very beautifully he was explaining about the Tarangarangini. Very wonderfully he was explaining. So, to consider oneself the proprietor and enjoyer is the greatest bondage, Vedavyas says in Mahabharata. He says these two words, I and mine, are the cause of bondage. And the two words, na aham, nirmama, are the two words that can liberate one from this world. In this way, in Ramayana it is said, Ravana was trying to have the desire to enjoy the ultimate object of desire, which was actually death personified, it is said. Why is Sita called as death personified? Because the goddess of fortune is meant only for serving the Lord and not for serving anyone else. The moment one tries to enjoy the goddess of fortune, then she becomes Durga. And she rides a tiger. And she has 10 hands. And she has Trishul in the hand. And she pierces her Trishul on the chest of all those who try to enjoy her. In this way, Ravana was trying to enjoy Mother Sita. And he became object of punishment by Ram. So Ravana actually represents lust. Because the lust is very vicious. After doing all these things, still Ravana was not convinced. After Sita spoke all these things, still he thought, let me show my ultimate form now. So she may probably become subdued by my prowess. Then immediately he took a huge form and showing his 10 heads of the Rakshasa. Earlier he looked like a very simple mendicant, but now he showed the 10-headed Rakshasa form to Sita. And he said, there is no one in this world who can stop me from getting what I wanted. And he said, Sita, it is better for you to come with me and become the queen of Lanka. And I will give you 5,000 servant maids who will all serve you and salute you always. And I will give you all the pleasures. Now I will take you to Lanka and I will show you what pleasures you can enjoy there. All you need to do is just submit yourself to me. So saying like this, still Sita was not ready to bend. Then he dragged her in the Pushpaka Viman and he carried her. So I am not going to tell that part. That's a long part about Jatayu. How Jatayu fought with Ravana and got killed, but still emerged victorious in serving Ram. But then when Ravana went to Lanka, there he told all the Rakshasis, all of them eating flesh and drinking blood, he told all the Rakshasis. He took Sita to the Antapuram, and he told all of them, keep Sita here in confinement. Nobody should come to see Sita without my permission, he said. If any of you scold Sita, he will die at my hands. And keep Sita here in confinement. I'll come and meet her later. And the next day, immediately, again, he, with a great eagerness and desire to go and see Sita, he came there. And he said, now I am going to take you on a tour in the palace of, in my whole palace. Come with me. Sita was not at all happy. She said, I don't want to come for any tour. She said, no. He forced her, you have to come. So reluctantly, she agreed to go. So when she went in the palace, there were so many ponds with lotuses and there were musicians who were singing. There were ivory benches inlaid with gold. There were also very beautiful fortifications and decorations. There were colorful birds, exotic birds kept in cages and everything. Very, very attractive. Everywhere there was opulence because it was Sonar Lanka. It was Lanka made of gold. And such opulence is unseen. And hundreds and thousands of servant maids and servants moving here and there, very busily rendering service to Ravana. And Ravana said, I alone have 1,000 servants to serve me every day. He said, and for you, Sita, as I told you, I'll give you 5,000 servant maids. And he said, look at my opulences and just surrender to me. So he used all the possible tricks that the man uses. A man flatters the woman. He flattered Sita in so many ways. But Sita said, after seeing all these things, she said, fearlessly she spoke. That is most important. She absolutely didn't fear Ravana at all. Nor did she get cajoled by all his thing. She said, Ravana, you just wait and watch. With my own purpose I can kill you, but I will not kill you. Lord Rama will come and destroy you. Your time for death is arriving very near. Then Ravana, as soon as he heard the name of Ram, immediately offended Ram. Why are you talking about this forest dweller? That useless Ram. He became very angry. He said, I will give you 12 months period. In that 12 months period, if you don't agree to please me, then he said, I will tell all this Rakshasis to cut you into pieces and cook you as a breakfast for me. He said, and then he told all the Rakshasis, he told all of them that you threaten her or you flatter her or you give her gold, silver, whatever ornaments or whatever palatable foods and dishes or whatever garments and garlands and attractive dresses Sita asks for. Provide her whatever she asks. But you should always try to divert her attention towards me, remind her about me, and always make her develop love for me. That is your assignment for you. He said, then he went away. You can see how As I told, Ravana is lust. There is one very beautiful verse by a Vaishnava. Kama dinam katana kadita palita durnideshas. Yesham trayi natrupa na karuna upashanti. He says, this kama lust is such a great rascal. He says, kama dinam katana kadita palita. Palita means, for many, many lifetimes, I have fed food to this Ravana in my heart. This lust in my heart for many, many lifetimes. Yesham, he says, and now this lust has become my master and I am serving this lust very faithfully. But Natrupa, I have never become satisfied. He says, no Pashanti, he says, I never became peaceful. And still, this lust is so thirsty and hungry, it keeps demanding me, aye, surrender to me. And look at me, pay your attention to me. In this way, this lust is dragging me, my dear Lord. Enough of all this foolish surrender I had for this lust. Now I don't want to turn towards lust anymore. I want to turn towards you. And never take my face away from you. He's saying. What is this lust? Once his own Jayadeva Swami Maharaj had come to Pune. He was telling this verse. Somebody asked about lust. He said, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apahrita Chetasam. What is that which diverts our attention away from samadhi on Krishna? Taya apahrita chetasam. Apahrita means it takes our attention away from Krishna. What is it? Bhoga Aishwarya. So bhoga means, he said, attraction for great things. Now he put his hand like this and he said, great things. Big shopping mall. And he said, big bungalow. Big car. He said, attraction for the big and fine and attractive glamorous things of this world. For accumulating those possessions, the people are running here and there to accumulate money and get those things. That is bhoga, he said. That is aishwarya, he said. And bhoga means attachment to sex life, he said. So these two things are the toughest things to give up in this world, and these two things divert our attention away from Krishna, he was telling. So these two things are represented by Ravana in our heart. And when Daneshwar Prabhu came here, he was telling an interesting thing. In a village, when they make a house, in 1 month they complete the house, he said. Within 1 month they make a house with all those village items. With those bamboo sticks and different kinds of dry leaves and everything. They make a house beautifully. And the house is very warm in winter and cool in summer. And they can live very happily. In 1 month they finish the house. And he said, in city, if one wants to purchase a house, one has to work for 25 years. Or one has to pay a loan. He was telling, one has to work hard. So the whole world is working hard for this bhoga and aishwarya. And this Vaishnava is praying, kama dinam katina kadida. Katina means, it is a very, very hard labor that one has to do. When you become a slave of lust, then no matter how big people we are, we become escorted by lust. Just like, have you ever seen a bull escorted by a small son of a farmer, small boy? Sometimes a small boy, in the bull's nose they put a rope. Once the rope is put, you pull, then the bull becomes a slave to the child. Even a child can pull the bull and it has to move. If he moves left, he has to move left. If he moves right, he has to move right. Lust is also like that. Lust makes us powerless. Lust makes us lose our strength. One becomes mad. So in this way, generally speaking, one is kept a slave of these three enemies. Kama, Krodha and Lobh in this world. There is also another wonderful prayer by another Vaishnava where he says that, my dear Lord, I am like as if I am kept on a horse, which is my mind, which is like, you have seen a horse standing on two legs like this, making a big sound, like that. He says, my mind is madly running in all directions. Please take the rope of my mind and Padangri Shankau Dridabhakti Bandhane. He's saying, bind my mind at your lotus feet. He's saying. So these are all prayers against lust, to give up the lust. But here we find Sita, she was fearless on one hand, and on the other hand, She also never even considered or contemplated on the facilities that he was offering. See, why it is very special? Because generally, a man wants sense gratification. But a woman is very fascinated by the opulences of this world. You ask any woman in this world, if you are looking for a husband, what do you look in a husband? Very few women will say that I want a beautiful husband. Maybe handsomeness may come little later. If a husband is very handsome but his pocket is empty, no woman will look at him. Generally, women look for a husband because women means they want security, they want protection, they want shelter, which is very, very natural. Just like children need shelter, women also want shelter. As soon as a man says, I am ready to marry now, what is the question one will ask? How much is your salary, sir? How much salary you have? Do you have a own bungalow? Do you have a car? Do you have a good job? Then they will say, okay. Then we can, then I am ready to marry. Otherwise not. there is a poem, yeah, there is a poem in which a man says, oh, my darling, I am ready to go with you for a joyful picnic. Come, let's both go and enjoy. Your beauty is like a mango. Lay this mango on a banana leaf so that I can eat and enjoy. So she says in reply that yes, before the in the marriage they play this Nadaswaram, you know. Nadaswaram is actually an instrument which they play during marriage. She says, until the Nadaswaram and the Mridangam, both are played, and until the Mangal Sutra comes on my neck, I cannot enjoy with you, she says. Of course, intelligent woman. So, women always see the opulence of a man. And here, Sita was in the forest with Ram, who was banished in the forest for 14 years. He was wearing tree bark, he was eating kandamul, bereft of all wealth and opulences. So a woman can very easily leave such a man and go away. Shastras talk of both type of women. Women who leave one home and go to another home. Who become fascinated by another man because of wealth and opulences. And Ravana is here showing all kinds of opulences and wealth, and he is ready to offer her all facilities, but Sita is rejecting her. So we are also put in the same position in this world. On one hand, we have all the glamorous material opulences of the material world alluring us and attracting us. On the other hand, we have Guru and Krishna calling us back to Krishna. So we have the choice. We have the choice in our life. What do we want to choose? So Prabhupada used to say this, Hira Chor and Kira Chor. Hira Chor is a big thief who steals diamond. And Kirachor is a cucumber thief who stole cucumber. So once a cucumber thief was saying, hey, why are you calling me? I only stole a cucumber. But you stole a cucumber or you stole diamond. Thief is a thief. In the same manner, the prostitute hunters, they are compared to the Hirachor. They are outrightly, in the name of sense enjoyment, they are, Prabhupada says this, in the name of sense enjoyment, they are chasing after Maya in this world. But if we come to Krishna consciousness and externally we practice Krishna consciousness but internally contemplate on sense gratification, then we become Kirachor. Kirachor and become Kukumar thief. A thief is a thief. Thief is counted as a thief. So, in this way, when Sita refused to even look at Ravana with both her palms closing her face, Sita was sobbing tears, and Ravana ordered all the rakshasis, now you take her to the Ashoka Vatika, keep her there and besiege her with all the weapons and everything, and take care of her, protect her, and nobody should come and see her except me, he said, and I will come and meet her time to time and divert her attention towards me, and all that he said. And then Sita was sitting under the tree constantly meditating on Ram. At that time, Brahma called Indra and said, very nice, very nice. Everything is going in the right direction now. Ravana has taken Sita and gone to Lanka. Now Sita is in Lanka now. Now what remains is, Lord Rama has to come and kill Ravana now. That will be the completion of the pastime. But then there is a problem. It seems that Sita is refusing to even drink a cup of water. And she is not ready to eat anything at the palace of Ravana. And she is just starving. And she has become like a dried up sunflower. And she is sitting under the Ashoka Vatika. I am afraid that because of separation from Ram, she may give up her life. So he tells Indra, please kindly go and give her this sweet rice. This is celestial sweet rice. If she eats this sweet rice, then she will be free from hunger, thirst and all pangs of the body. Go and deliver it to her. So Indra takes that sweet rice in one hand and carries with him Nidra Devi also. And then as soon as he goes near Ashoka Vatika, he sends Nidra Devi in the front and tells her, go and put everyone to sleep. Then all the Rakshasis, they all are put to sleep and they all start snoring. And then Indra changes himself into a Brahmana. And carrying the sweet rice in his hand, he goes in front of Mother Sita and tells her, oh my dear mother, here is a sweet rice sent by Lord Brahma for you. And thinking that, you know, you have not eaten anything, you are not sleeping and you are starving like this, he has sent this for you. And if you eat this, you will become free from thirst, hunger and all pains of your body. But then Sita became suspicious. Maybe this Brahmana may be Ravana only, who has come in a disguised form to cheat me. She asked, what is the proof that you are Indra? Show me your real form. Indra immediately transformed the Brahmana form into Indra form. And his body was glowing and his leg was not touching the ground. He was wearing a garland that never dried up and his clothes had absolutely no dust. Then she understood that this is Indra only. Then she accepted it. Then she accepted the sweet rice and she, in her mind, she offered to Ram with great devotion and begged him to eat the sweet rice. And after offering to Ram, then she accepted the sweet rice, which nourished her heart and body very much. And Indra, along with Nidra Devi, vanished from the sight of everyone else after that. So, here is a great lesson. It is said that the Lord always looks to the protection of his devotee. No matter where the devotee be, in whatever difficult circumstances the devotee may be put, the Lord arranges for the protection of his devotee. Like Sita was taken care by Lord Ram, he arranged for the sweet rice for her. At the same time, the devotee never worries about one's own protection. A devotee doesn't care. Sita never even thought, what am I going to do for tomorrow? A devotee never cares for one's own protection. And at the same time, the devotee knowing well that God will protect me, the devotee is constantly meditating on the Lord in the heart. While the Lord is constantly meditating on the convenience of the devotee. In this way, there is a mutual reciprocation between Lord and his devotee. So Sita was thinking of Ram constantly and Ram was thinking of Sita's welfare constantly. Like this. In this way, we can see Sita never relaxed her chastity. She never relaxed her purity. And adding insult to injury, after this period of staying in Lanka for such a long time, when Lord Ram brought Sita out, he wanted her to do the Agni Pravesh. To prove to the world that Sita is pure. She had absolutely no bad intentions. You see, sometimes we see the pastime of Gautama Rishi, you know, Indra and Ahilya uniting. Actually, Ahilya knew, very soon she came to know that this is Indra in disguise, like my husband. But still, she had the bad intent of enjoying with him. That is why Gautama Rishi made her into a stone, isn't it? Similarly, you also hear the pastime of, who is that? Who is the mother of Kamsa? Anybody knows? Who is Ugrasena's wife? I don't remember her name. Actually, Ugrasena's wife was also cheated by a man who disguised himself as Ugrasen type of person. And then he impregnated her and the child who came was Kamsa. Rakshasa. So there are examples and evidences in Shastra where a woman has at least become mentally lusty for another man other than one's husband. Just like you find Jamadagni's wife Renuka, she saw the Gandharva flying in the sky. She saw his beautiful form in the water and she became attracted to that. So at least mentally, in those days, even mentally one becomes attracted, there was punishment, even for mental offense like that. Whereas Sita remained pure, but still Lord Ram wanted her to do Agni Pravesh. For what? To prove to the world. Of course, when she entered into Agni, Swaha is the wife of Agni. So Swaha brought the Maya Sita back and Maya Sita she accepted and gave the original Sita back. Back to Ram. That was another purpose why Ram did. Because Maya Sita was the one who was in Sri Lanka. The original Sita never went to Sri Lanka. Only Maya Sita went to Sri Lanka. So Maya Sita entered into fire and original Sita came out and went back with Ram. But we can understand, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives an example, a beautiful example. He says, a wife who is wearing a kumkum on her forehead, the forehead she wears a kumkum and she wears a Mangalsutra in her neck, and she always is devoted to her husband. And when another man looks at her with a lusty look, offering her varieties of opulences and facilities for enjoying the world, she looks at that man with such a sharp eyes, as if to burn him down to ashes, like that. In the same manner, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the Lord's devotees wear tilak on their forehead, showing that Krishna is my master. This is his feet, carrying the feet of Krishna on their forehead. And also they carry the kantimala in their neck, which is like Mangalsutra, carrying it. When Maya offers them allurements, dangling allurements, here I am, Maya, I have come to your door, please enjoy. Take this, take that. Dhanam, janam, sundaring, whatever she offers. The devotees look at Maya and laugh at her. They say, I don't want anything of what you want of her, get out of here. Just like you see that pastime of Tukaram talking to that prostitute who came singing Krishna songs. And then Tukaram started taking his, Chaplia. He took that and started playing and he became completely as if mesmerized. If anybody sees that movie, you may become afraid. Hey, Tukaram is becoming mesmerized. But he became mesmerized by Krishna's song. And then he came out of his house and looked at this lady who was singing. Even the prostitute was very chastely dressed. Then Tukaram told her, oh, your singing is like Rukmini singing Krishna's glories. How wonderful it is. Your song is beautiful, she said. And then when very soon she started becoming loose in dealing with him, started loosely dealing with him, immediately understood her bad intentions. And he told her, my dear lady, don't you know, we are Haridasas. Haridasas never get into these things. Haridasas means we are servant of Krishna. We don't get into this business of man-woman business. We don't get into this kind of thing. He told her, better you chant Krishna's names and you become Krishna's devotee. And he talk to her so powerfully, spiritually. You know, every living being is suffering in this world, cycle of birth and death, old age and disease. Why do you want to suffer in this world? Just chant the names of Vittal and go back to him. Go back to the Lord. She started crying. After that, she became so mad for Krishna. All others who saw her, they became surprised. After that. So, this is a prerogative of a devotee. A devotee like Haridas Thakur, Tukaram or anybody. They never fall prey to Maya, but they always take shelter of Krishna. And they are chaste to Krishna, Krishna's service. Like in Bhagavatam, it is said, the eyes of the devotee should be used for beholding the beautiful form of the deities. But if the eyes are turning towards Maya of this world, they are called as the plumes of a peacock. Peacock has thousands of eyes which are useless. Thousands of feathers which look like eyes. Those eyes are useless eyes. Similarly, the eye... In fact, Chanakya tells a verse where he says the eyes can be compared to a wound if they are used for becoming attracted to Maya. But if the eyes are used for studying the scriptures, then the eyes are considered to be worthy of having. And Chanakya is saying. one of the verses like that. Similarly, all the senses. Jihvasati Dardurike Vasuta Achobagaya Turugayagata. The tongue should glorify Ram or Krishna. Then the tongue is chaste. But if the tongue is talking the rubbish subject matters of this material world, talking about sports, talking about cinema, talking about the dealings of material world, then they are called as unchaste. So we can talk about every sense like this, like the eyes, the nose, the tongue, the ears, and the skin, every one of this. So Sita's chastity to Ram is greatly glorified in Ramayana. That's why we discussed about it. And we also can be chaste in our devotional service to our acharyas, to our spiritual master, to Krishna. And that chastity is very attractive. Lord always admires, like he admired the chastity of Rukmini. Rukmini was only willing to marry Krishna and no one else. And Krishna admired it very much. He told her later, Rukmini, although there were many great kings who were more handsome than me, who were having more wealth than me, who had vast lands, and I am simply a covered boy. I am simply an ordinary man and you are ready to marry me, he says. So anyone who worships Krishna and wants only the feet of Krishna, lotus feet of Krishna and nothing else, they occupy Krishna's heart. They become recognized by Krishna. So this is also one of the great messages that Ramayana gives us. So we can learn a lot. I would request you to read Ramayana from this perspective, which I told you in the beginning, that Lakshman served the Vapu of Ram, and Bharat served the Vani of Ram, and Dasharath got caught in between. Although he had attraction for Ram, still his attachment for Kaikeyi was no less. So he became trapped at home, leaving Ram behind. And he in fact even died because of that separation. He became torn between the two. So we can study more in this direction about Lakshman's character and Bharat's character. And also, as I told you, now I was telling you how Ravana took Sita away from Ram. We were discussing our lust in our heart takes us away from Krishna, takes us away from the Supreme Lord. Because actually you'll find even many times devotees saying how lust is not only the attraction for the opposite sex, that's a prominent one, but lust is also for the material things of the world which become an obstacle in our Krishna consciousness. For example, if somebody is thinking, I want to buy that bungalow, big bungalow, which has a beautiful lawn in the front, and there is a backyard, and there is a parking place, and it's an independent bungalow, and then the picture of that bungalow comes in my mind, and then I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and all the time that bungalow is coming in my mind. That means the bungalow has occupied my mind. That is also counted as lust. That can be counted as lust also. Similarly, if a woman occupies my mind and not allowing Krishna to manifest in my heart, then that is also lust. Or the position and the possession and the fame that we want and that we want to expand in this world. All these things, pratishtha especially. So, all these things are counted as lust. Eagerness to get all these things. And they can block our progress. They can choke our progress. They can come in the way and not let us move ahead. Just like the anchor that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talks about. The anchor in the bank of the river. So the anchor of lust does not let us progress. So we have to watch and not water this weeds, but we have to water the plant, devotional creeper. And Sita, actually Radharani or Sita or Lakshmi, they are personification of devotional service. They are called as the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. They are servitor Godhead. Simply one can meditate on their character, meditate on their behavior, meditate on their service attitude, meditate on their devotion. These personalities, Sita, Srimati Radharani, Lakshmi, it will conquer our heart, that service, seva bhav, the service attitude. So, I didn't get time, but you can read in Ramayana, when Hanuman goes to see Sita, how Hanuman sang the sweet songs in glorification of Ram, and he describes the condition of Sita in Lanka. to Ram. How she was devoted to Ram. And Ram hears it, he cries tears. Actually the Lord, when he hears about his devotee's situation, he should cry tears. That is why one Maharaj was telling in a lecture, he said, if you are only meditating on Mahaprasad, how I can eat more and more and become, I can increase the cross section of my body, bigger and bigger. And if I am only thinking how I can increase my sleep, increase my eating, and how I can increase my name and fame, how can you make the Lord cry for you? Yes, Lord will cry, but in a different way he will cry. Look at this devotee, he never thinks of me. You know, he is simply enjoying his mind and senses, claiming to be my devotee. Isn't it? So when will the Lord cry? For that we have to learn how to do devotion service like Sita, or like Radharani or Lakshmi. Shri Ram Nami Maha Mahotsav Ki, Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Thank you very much. But announce, Raghu. Actually, I don't know how many of you are there in the morning. Murari Prabhu spoke very wonderful. Many, many valuable lessons he gave. Very valuable lessons. If any of the devotees, brahmacharis have missed, you should hear the lecture cassette. I hope they recorded. Very wonderful. Actually, if you remember, if you are present, you will see. He took the pastime beginning from Bharat, who was out of station at that time. And then Bharat returning back to his dependent to Ayodhya, and then how he talked to his mother, and then going to meet Ram. In between he put a break everywhere and gave many valuable lessons which are very practically applicable in our everyday life. It's a very nice way of teaching Ramayana. He just didn't talk only Ramayana. He talked about Prabhupada, he talked about ISKCON, he talked about our everyday life, personal life, and so many wonderful lessons. Halting. Actually, this is called as Katha Kalachev, they call it. In South India, Katha Kalachev means only one thing that was missing in his Katha Kalachev was the music in between, that's all. In South India, they speak like this and they put some little music in between so that everyone becomes again brisk to hear. So, very beautiful way of narrating Ramayana, and it was very absorbing. So, the separation of Bharat for Ram, so heart touching. It is so heart-touching. Consider the relationship of Aurangzeb to his brothers, and Ram and his brother. One family had invited me. The two brothers had a fight in a family. Actually, they were very good children, right, in the childhood. When they grew up, they belonged to a millionaire family. But then when they came to 25 or 30 years, they got married and their wives came. At one point of time, the father said, I want to divide the property. But these two sons started fighting like cat and rat. They said, I want this property. This boy said, I want the business. You take the houses. This fellow said, you take the house. I will take the business and all that. This fight went on for 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks, they had called me, So, they told me to speak to the two boys and the father. And one boy was telling, my father, now I understand why my other brother was taking care of my father for the last 5 years. Because he wanted the bigger share of the property and all that. Then when I went to their home, I spoke this pastime, Bharat Vilap. They were all crying tears when they heard it. I said, Ram and Bharat were also fighting, not like you. How they were fighting? They were saying, you become the king. I will become your servant. And then Ram is saying, no, you become the king. And you guys are fighting, I will take everything. Just see, this is because you are not keeping the Lord in the center. Then they chanted Hare Krishna. And after that, they both told their father, Father, we don't want any wealth. You only keep it yourself. They were saying. And the father said, what kind of provision you gave? My sons are not ready to take their property. He started scolding me. Then I said to his father, now you give whatever you feel is fit to your sons. And then he divided and they both said, although I am going to possess this property, I came with an empty hand and I am going with an empty hand. Anyway, they accepted after that. You see, it can change our hearts, these kind of wonderful pastimes. Murari Prabhu did a very wonderful masterpiece lecture. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Actually, I was 2 days back, I was completely blank what to speak. I went to Radheshyampuru and Radheshyampuru only guided me. So, seeing his enthusiasm, inspiration, guidance, I was speaking. So, all glory goes to him. Radheshyam Prabhu ki jai. So, now we have, Aarti is going on, we can go and join Aarti. 1:10 we have Prasadam here for devotees. So, it will go in 2 or 2.5 batches because the place is not sufficient here. So those who fit in first batch at 1:10, then 1:40 another batch will be there, and third batch like that, prasadam will be there. And after that, we have again programs, kirtan starting at 4:30 in the evening, Vaishnava songs till 5:30, and after that there will be kirtans. Hare Krishna.